it came upon the midnight clear, that glorious song of old, from angels bending near the earth to touch their harps of gold. Peace on the earth, goodwill to men, from heaven's all gracious King. The world in solemn stillness lay to hear the angels sing. Still through the cloven skies they come, with peaceful wings unfurled, and still their heavenly music floats o'er all the weary world. Above its sad and lonely plains they bend on hovering wing, and ever o'er its babel sounds the blessed angels sing. Hastening on by prophets seen of old, when with the ever-circling years shall come the time foretold, when the new heaven and earth shall own the Prince of Peace, their King. And the whole of worlds send back the song which now the angels sing.
Hello, and welcome to St. Stephen's on this, the second Sunday of Advent. As you can see, today is a communion day, so if you need to prepare the elements of either bread or crackers and some wine or juice so that you can participate later in the sacrament as Kelly leads us, please pause the recording now. And as we do on communion days, let's hear the land acknowledgement. We are honoured to gather, serve and worship on the traditional and unceded territory of the Qualicum First Nation, the traditional keepers of this land. We seek to live with respect for these original peoples and to honour their values and the land they have called home for thousands of years. We also pay our respects for and acknowledge the lives lost and the courage of the survivors of residential schools, and commit to support, advocate for, and contribute to the implementation of the calls to action of the Truth and Reconciliation Commission of Canada. This is the second week of Advent. We remember that Advent is a time of preparation. During these days, we are preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus Christ. Last week, we lit the candle of hope. Today, we light the candle of peace. Our world is not always a peaceful world. People sometimes hurt other people, but God promises peace. During Advent, we pray that we, as well as all people, will seek God's peace. Would you join me in the call to worship for today? Isaiah 40, verse 3 says, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Come as an Advent people, praise the God of promise. We come with glad and thankful hearts. Follow the holy way, make the path straight. We will walk the road to Bethlehem." Let's pray together. Gracious God, your vision of peace and wholeness comes to us in sweeping revelations and in tiny signs of hope. Kindle our hearts that we might be a hopeful people. Keep us from growing weary of waiting, lest we miss the glory of your appearing. Even so, come quickly, O God. Amen. Friends, prepare the way of the Lord. Let us make our confession to God. Merciful God, always with us, always coming, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We have ignored the promise of your kingdom. We get distracted by all the busyness of this season. Forgive us, God. Grant us the simple wonder of the shepherds, the intelligent courage of the Magi, and the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of a child born for us. And now, in the quiet of our hearts, we ask you to make us ready for his coming. Amen.
Having confessed our sins, let us hear these words of grace. This is the good news God remembers. Not our sins, not our foolish lives, not our rebellion. God remembers us and redeems us. God prepares us the way for us. The way to grace, to hope, to new life. Joyfully we offer our thanks to God. Amen. Passing the peace is a tradition rooted in Scripture that embodies our identity as peacemakers and trains our hearts, hands, and tongues in the way of peace. As Jesus has shared his peace with each of us, let us now share that peace with each other. The peace of Christ be with you.
The scripture reading this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. How terrible will be the Lord's judgment on those rulers who destroy and scatter the people. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the rulers who were supposed to take care of his people. You have not taken care of my people. You have scattered them and driven them away. Now I am going to punish you for the evil you have done. I will gather the rest of my people from the countries where I have scattered them, and I will bring them back to their homeland. They will have many children and increase in number. I will appoint rulers to take care of them. My people will no longer be afraid or terrified, and I will not punish them again. I, the Lord, have spoken. The Lord says, the time is coming when I will choose a king, a righteous descendant of David. That king will rule wisely and do what is right and just throughout the land. When he is king, the people of Judah will be safe, and the people of Israel will live in peace. He will be called the Lord our salvation. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'm not sure how many of us here have ever spent time listening to the Stuart McLean Show as he talks about Dave and Morley's adventures as a couple in life. I spent quite a bit of time in rural ministry and driving between churches, and I always felt lucky when we had half an hour or so driving between and we could sit and listen to the Vinyl Cafe. There was a formula that Stuart McLean used in writing that. He would have some wonderful stories that would create images for us, and then he always was able to tie it all together at the end. It was tempting to use that type of a formula and try to create a Vinyl Cafe version of an Advent message for us. I have done that, and I'm happy to share it with us today. I have changed Dave and Morley to Ernie and Oma, my grandparents, who were true shepherds. In memory of them, I offer the following. Each December 1st, Ernie quietly climbs out of bed, creeps into the kitchen, opens the cellar door, being careful to put a chair in front of the opening in case Oma takes one wandering step to her left on her way to the bathroom. He climbs down the near vertical ladder. He bends his head slightly as the 6-foot-plus frame disappears through the linoleum floor. And when his feet touch the floor, he pauses to inhale those earthen smells, right arm swinging in the dark, hoping to find the string and fishing weight which drops down from the light bulb. He pulls down gently and the light bulb comes on. Scurrying of small feet can be heard as small furry creatures recede into safe spots where the light will not reach them. And Ernie finds what he's looking for. He scoops up the wooden mandarin orange box and again wonders who made the decision to move to cardboard in 1960. With his free hand, he grabs a jar of choke cherry jam and leans into the ladder on his ascent up to the kitchen. Halfway out of the opening, he pushes the orange blocks off to the left, and the jam jar follows, sliding on the lino floor until it hits the wooden box. A perfect intern draw, he mutters to the mice in the cellar. Ernie lifts the rest of his lanky body up onto the kitchen floor, rises to his feet, and closes the trap door. Just as the trap door and the floor come together in their familiar embrace, Ernie sees that the light is still on. Knowing that this will not be his only trip to the cellar, he puts the jam on the kitchen counter, scoops up the mandarin orange box, and heads off to the living room. Oma, who has been awake all the time, smiles and rolls over, deciding to give Ernie some time alone to get the coffee on and to deal with the mandarin orange box. Half an hour later, Oma lifts her not-so-lanky body from the bed, puts on her house coat and heads off to the bathroom, checking to make sure the cellar trapdoor is closed in the kitchen. For falling into the cellar is something you don't ever want to do a third time. And Oma, coffee in hand, arrives in the living room just as Ernie rises from the mandarin orange box, which stands on its long side, balancing carefully on the window ledge. The top is open, and the faces of the living room and faces the living room where Oma casts a critical eye over Ernie's work of art. "You remembered," she said, smiling at her husband of close to 50 years. "How could I forget?" Ernie smiles back at her. "How could either one of them forget?" Ernie had carved that nativity scene in 1922, the year of their marriage. The oranges were bought at the co-op in town that same November, and the orange box tucked away in the attic for a future purpose. And Ernie had put the nativity scene out on their first Christmas morning together at their farm. Jesus, Joseph, Mary, a donkey, a cow, three shepherds, a couple of angels. And Oma immediately claimed ownership, thanking Ernie for her birthday present. Ernie said, "You're welcome," at that moment remembering that his new bride's birthday was indeed Christmas Day. Ernie's eyes twinkled and he said, "I wanted to carve an Oma in a cradle so you and Jesus could celebrate your birthday together, but I ran out of wood." Oma said, "I can wait until next year." And they shared an orange as they marveled at their nativity on their first Christmas morning. Santa had brought Oma a journal to write in, and Ernie got some shells for his Winchester 32 Special. Ernie went outside to sight in the rifle, and Oma wrote her new married name in the first page of the journal. She then went up in the attic and got the mandarin orange box and placed the wooden figures inside, setting each of them on a crocheted doily given to her by her mother as a wedding present. She added a few pieces of bark, some straw from the cat's bed, and was standing back admiring her work of art when Ernie came in from the cold. "Merry Christmas," they said to each other. "And happy birthday," added Ernie. And the figures lived in the box for the next 50 years, but Oma wanted her birthday present on display for more than the week of Christmas. And so on the second year and every year thereafter, Ernie would put it out during the first week of December. December 1st, if he remembered, as a reminder that it was 24 days to Christmas, a reminder it was 24 days to Oma's birthday. When they moved to town, the box went into the cellar, carefully wrapped in a canvas bag to protect against moisture and furry creatures. And 49 years later, it was that same box that Oma scrutinized as she took her first sip of coffee. Joseph, Mary, a donkey, a cow, a couple of angels, Jesus in a manger, Oma in a manger. "Where's the shepherds?" she asked. She moved closer and repeated, "Where's the shepherds?" And Ernie shrugged with a "don't really know" kind of effort and stared at the cat. "Maybe in the cellar. Maybe they fell out of the box when I was down there last spring cleaning out the sewer line." And Oma said, "Well, you better go look. I'll put breakfast on." And Ernie mumbled, "Don't fall in the hole." Oma asked, "What's that?" And Ernie replied, "It's okay. I left the light on anyway." Half an hour later, Ernie shouted up the ladder, "I think I found the shepherds. Come on down." Oma hesitated because she hated the cellar, but needed to make sure Ernie wasn't into the choke cherry wine this early in the day. So down she went, hips lovingly caressing the rough edges of the opening in the floor. Ernie lifted her down the last two steps and guided her to one of the two chairs they stored in the cellar. "Where were they?" she asked. And Ernie said, "Well, I haven't exactly found those shepherds, but I found some other ones." And Ernie held up Oma's journal, that Christmas present from her first Christmas together. I've been down reading it. I hope you don't mind. And Oma was trying to remember what she'd written way back then. Nothing too scandalous, she hoped. She hadn't written in it since they moved to town. Ernie said, you wrote about life. You wrote about those special times in our life when friends, family, and strangers came to our side to celebrate our joy and to be with us in our sorrows. You wrote about when you and I were able to help others in the same way they had helped us. When we were all hungry, when our animals needed caring for, when we needed someone to stand around the cradle and share the birth of a child, when we needed someone to stand with us at the grave, when we buried a child, when we couldn't seem to hold our own against the storms that blew our way, when we needed people to sing and dance in our kitchen in celebration of life, and when they opened up their kitchens so we could share what we had with others. Ernie carried on reminding Oma that he was from a family of missionaries. Somewhere in the Bible, baby Jesus grows up and is asked by folks what they should do when Jesus is no longer with them. And Jesus says, "Feed my sheep." "Where are the shepherds? I couldn't find the wooden ones, but I found the ones that have been with us in flesh and blood for 50 plus years. You wrote about them. They were and are real shepherds, caring for each other through thick and through thin. I don't know where the wooden shepherds went, but I'll bet if we went down to the senior center later today, we'll run into one of those shepherds you've written about. Here, let me shepherd you up the ladder. I'll bring the journal and we can read it to each other while you shepherd me through some bacon and eggs. We need to keep our strength up for the next 24 days so we can celebrate the birth of Jesus and celebrate, of course, your birthday." The prophet Jeremiah writes, "I will place shepherds over them who will tend to them, and they will no longer be terrified or afraid, nor will any go missing." So who are the shepherds? Well, there's no special breed of human shepherd. It's ordinary men and women who must choose to be good shepherds. Ordinary men and women whose attentiveness to justice, protection, mercy, and righteousness mirrors the shepherding of the God we have come to know in Jesus Christ. What does it mean to be a shepherd? In chapter 21 of Luke's gospel, he tells us that in the face of distress and confusion, fear and foreboding, the roar of sea and the waves and the shaking of the very heavens, we are to stand up and raise our heads because our redemption, our salvation is coming near. I take this to mean that in times of trouble, when it looks like the whole world is about to end, our stance is to be upright, our faces raised, uplifted, not pressed down, buoyed up, not depressed, finding hope in our everyday caring for each other. We are asked, dare I say, called to be shepherds, feeding each other with love and kindness, sharing a posture of hope and joy, for we know what is unknowable, that to be a shepherd is to believe year after year that the healing of the world is possible and even within our grasp. May it be so this Christmas season and all the days that follow. Amen.
Good morning, my friends. I begin today's prayers with a quote from Max Lucado. All loving God, our prayers may be awkward, our attempts may be feeble, but since the power of prayer is in the one who hears it and not in the one who says it, our prayers do make a difference. We ask the Lord for help in so many ways, but sometimes we forget to thank Him for all He has given and continues to give every day. The prayers today are responsive. I say, Lord of giving. And the response is our hearts thank you. Gracious God, accept our thanks and praise for all that you have done for us. We thank you for the splendor of the whole creation, for the beauty of this world, for the wonder of life, and for the mystery of love. Dear Lord, hear us today in our words of prayer and gratitude, in each melody that we sing, in our silent thoughts and pleas. Let us now take a moment to think about what is important in our lives that we are grateful for. Open your hearts to the Lord and ask Him for His blessings. Lord of giving, our hearts thank you. Loving God, we thank you for our loving and caring community of St. Stephen's, both for those present and also for those connecting with us from home. Lord of giving, our hearts thank you. Merciful God, we are grateful for those who touched our lives but are no longer with us. We are grateful knowing that they are in your care, free of life's concerns, and bathed in your eternal love. Please take a moment now to bring to mind those who are no longer with us in body, but always with us in spirit. Lord of giving, our hearts thank you. Patient God, forgive us for focusing more on the negatives in our lives than the positives. Thank you for your blessings of love, grace, mercy, and eternal life. Fill our hearts with your Spirit this Advent and all days so that we can be thankful for all we have. This doesn't mean that we are to give thanks for everything, but in everything. Lord of giving, our hearts thank you. O holy, patient, and loving God, in this season of grace-filled longing, we await the coming of your Son and our Savior. It is difficult for us to remember that this is a holy time. There are many distractions. The world is full of worries. Commitments seem to pile up, and expectations are high. In the midst of our busy world, our busy lives, we need your help to remind us of what is important and necessary and for what to be grateful for. While many of those things that we do not need will come to us in packages, gleaming and bright, the one gift that will last comes from you alone, gracious God, as we grow in awareness of your love. Bless us, our family and friends, and all those in need throughout the world. Increase in us a growing urgency to celebrate the birth of your Son. Amen.
Let us come together as we celebrate the meal of our faith. The Holy One is here. God's Spirit is with us. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to God. It is right to offer thanks and praise. We give you thanks, God of peace and promise. Through the words of your prophets and the faith of your followers, you prepare the way of our redemption and bring hope to birth. And though we often grow weary of waiting, your signs call us to keep watch for that day when all things shall be made new. In assurance of this hope, we join now with all the company of heaven and earth to give you praise. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We do what Jesus did the night before he died. He took bread, gave thanks, broke the bread, and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat, remember me." Then he took the cup and said, "Take, drink, remember." Remembering our boundless love for us in Jesus Christ, we offer you our praise. By sharing in this loaf and cup, we proclaim Christ's death, celebrate Christ's resurrection, and await Christ's coming again. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus, come. By these signs of bread and wine, we recognize the longings of all our hearts for a time when all humanity will be one family, when justice and compassion will be the way we live according to the one we follow. Holy Spirit, be in our lives, uniting us in these signs and strengthening us to live the resurrected life of Christ in the world. Blessed be the Ancient of Days, blessed be the Beloved, blessed be the Spirit. Amen. Let us pray together the prayer of our faith, taught to us by Jesus. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Come, for the meal is ready. Having been nourished by the gifts of God in bread and wine, let us offer prayer. God of beginnings, you draw near to us in word and sacrament to strengthen and renew us. Kindle in us the fire of your Spirit, and may your light so shine through us that all may welcome your Son at his coming. We ask this in the name of Jesus, Emmanuel. Amen.
Thank you for all the ways that you help run the mission and ministries here at St. Stephen's by your contributions. Would you pray with me over all the gifts that are given this week so that they may be used for the building of God's kingdom? Accept, O God, this money offered, these gifts given, the goodwill of our hearts, that disappointment may be turned to hope and worry may be turned to anticipation as we await with wonder the birth of Christ. Amen. December 14th is going to be quite a big day on site here at St. Stephen's. If you are local and able to attend, we are having a 10 a.m. service, just one on-site service that day at 10 a.m. because the children are going to present their pageant. It might be a little chaotic, but it's going to be very fun and very cute. We hope that if you're around, you're able to come. And that same afternoon at 2 p.m., the augmented choir is going to present This Is Christmas, their annual cantata. A really great event every year, directed by our choir director, Anne Bennett. Again, if you're local, 2 p.m., December 14th. Then on Christmas Eve, again, we actually have three services. We have two on site here, one at 4, one at 7. We also will be online, as we always are. We hope that if you're around, you're able to be here with us.
We have gathered, we have worshiped together. Let us go with these words of blessing. As you leave this place, may you have the wisdom to lean on one another. May you have the courage to hold on to hope, the compassion to do the good that is yours to do, and the confidence to trust that God sees you as a blessing. For in a world of dead ends, Advent invites us to begin again. So start here. Start now. Start with love and begin again. In the name of Christ, our new beginning, go in peace.
Once in royal David's city stood.